and welcome to Fent Show, conversations with entrepreneurs, where they share their challenges and lessons learned through their journey to earning a living doing what they love. I'm Diana Lopez, and welcome. Hello, hello, and welcome to Fent Show. My name is Diana Lopez, and thank you for joining me to welcome Melanie Keys. Melanie is passionate about working with emerging fashion brands to create the impossible. A creative and solution-motivated retail strategist, Melanie brings over 15 years of merchandising and brand development experience across global luxury and mass markets. Her extensive category and consumer insights cover apparel and accessories, women's, men's, and kids, spanning the U.S., Europe, Asian Pacific, Middle Eastern, North Africa, and Latin America. Hello, Melanie. How are you today?
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. And I'm very, very excited to have you today. And before we go and jump and talk about your projects, I have a little type of icebreaker question. What was the first thing that you bought with your own money?
The very first, like, expensive thing I bought was a car. I called it my little silver bullet. It was a Honda Civic.
So, silver bullet?
Yeah. it was a silver bullet. So, yeah, I bought a car. That's really exciting.
That's a really, really big thing. So congrats. Yeah.
Thank you.
And well, for those that don't know you, tell us a little bit more about yourself. When you attend events and people ask you, what do you do? How do you respond?
Sure. So I am founder and director of the MAK Fashion Group. And we basically are a global fashion consultancy, which supports emerging fashion brands with resources and the strategies to help navigate the competitive retail landscape. We also help fashion federations and trade platforms and other partners, which are focused on the commercialization and education of emerging talent. When I usually go to events or networking or, you know, group get-togethers, I say that I'm a brand strategist. I love to help emerging brands figure out the impossible and how to move from A to Z. It's a crazy world. I love giving back in retail, rather. It's a crazy world for especially like young designers or emerging brands, et cetera, and figuring out, you know, with an advocate and a partner how to really move about this industry is important. So I like to say I'm your brand strategist. I'm your advocate that can help you navigate this crazy retail world.
Wonderful. And before making the leap into becoming an entrepreneur, tell us, how was your last day in the job? How did you feel in that moment? And when you finally said this is the moment to, and the right moment, the you know, that you finally made the decision, and what happened that day?
Well, it's quite funny because I didn't have like a conscious hard stop that, you know what, I'm going to quit my job in 6 months and I'm going to just jump into this entrepreneur world. So I lived in Asia the last 4 years, actually. I'm now back in the States. But I lived in Asia, and my last couple of years in Asia, I was consulting and doing work with Singapore Fashion Week. And I'd done it for a couple of rounds, really loved it and enjoyed it. However, I knew that like my time had come to do something else. So I took a break, you know, gave my notice and took a break and traveled and really kind of just was with myself to think about what do I really want to do next? You know, how do I really want to make a difference professionally? What is really driving me? You know, how can I explore my passion? Traveling, all that good stuff. And during that time, which was about a year, I would have partners and, you know, colleagues and, you know, people come to me and say, oh, Melanie, we really need your help with this particular project. Or I have a new brand that's looking for merchandising support. Or, you know, I have a, you know, new brand that doesn't even know how to start building a line plan, et cetera. So I would do these kind of one-off things to help people. And then I realized that, you know, my passion for the past few years, and it has always been through my whole, you know, career has been really mentoring and developing and, you know, giving back to brands that really don't know how to create a successful and profitable platform. So during that kind of year of exploration and figuring things out, I discovered like, wow, I really enjoy this and I can monetize this. You know, I can really turn this into, you know, something great. And that's how the MAK Fashion Group was born. Now, the funny thing is, I said it took me a while for my journey because I straddled the fence for a very long time between like corporate world and entrepreneurship because it's a huge leap. And like I said, I never saw myself truly as an entrepreneur. And it was coming fast and furious at me. And then I really, you know, parts of me, the security and safety of a corporate job, which I had had for 15 years, my whole, you know, professional life, was kind of calling me back as well. And so it was during this time of straddling that I started to get even more and more pulled into the entrepreneur world, speaking to entrepreneurs, you know, learning and reading about different things, figuring out how this could actually work. So it was kind of just like an organic evolution. But the end of last year, I made a very conscious decision, the end of 2017, to commit myself full time to the MAK Fashion Group. And that was huge because, you know, I said, I'm not going to even dabble and look for corporate work anymore. I'm going to focus on this. I'm going to grow my business. I'm going to, you know, invest in a website. I'm going to invest in actually, you know, networking and branding and et cetera. So that's, I would say, the end of last year was when I fully committed. And it's been a very good ride ever since. Not easy, but it, once you commit to making that leap, it's been very good for me.
I mean, listening to you makes me think of so many people that I've talked to. I recently also took a trip, and that's the friend that we have in common.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a lot of conversations when it comes to taking a break. And tell us, this is wonderful. Not everybody can take a break, but this seems like it wasn't, you know, just a thing that you thought of, you know, like in a moment you're like, oh, I'm going to just take a break for a year. So what happened in that process that you, I could imagine that you, you know, finished everything at work before you left for a year, also personally, and how much money did you save? Like how much time did it take you to actually plan this in mm-hmm. order for you to have a whole year of, you know, discovering what you were passionate about?
Well, I had saved for, I would say my last few years of working, I had been a pretty great saver because also I, you know, you just never know with a working environment. So, and I guess you can always say I've always had somewhere, maybe subconsciously in the back of my mind, this like grand idea, like I would love to take a year off and just do whatever, but I didn't know it would turn into an entrepreneurial kind of road. That being said, saved, like I said, the past, you know, few years that I was really working, I really lived cheaply. So I lived in Singapore, and although Singapore itself is quite expensive, traveling around the region is not. So I was able to, you know, take pretty like inexpensive trips, and I lived alternatively for a while. Like I had a roommate, which I hadn't had a roommate like in 20 years. But things like that, that I sacrificed to really give myself freedom and room, to move. So the importance of that journey and figuring things out was, of most value to me, that I was willing to sacrifice other things like, you know, like I said, having a roommate or, you know, not maybe going out to as many fancy restaurants. I'm a lover of fashion, so I used to love to shop. So, you know, I have not had a fancy handbag in years. Those types of things. So just making those kind of conscious decisions, realizing that my growth and my journey and this exploration was more important for my soul, basically, than a material thing.
Yes, and I love that. And another point that I want to go back to is what you were saying just now as well, that key word, which is decision. I mean, you were 15 years in the corporate world, and then you decided to take a break. So that was one decision, right?
Yes.
And to put your money into, like, you can put your money anywhere, and you decided to travel for a year.
Yeah, I did. And during that year, though, I did, and this is where I talk about straddling the fence. I still looked for jobs. I kind of kept my foot out. I kind of did this. I kind of did that. But I was half in it, and I was finding out through this journey, like, that's not really where I want to be. Do you know what I mean? So it was kind of, like I said, a very much organic thing, but I did consciously took time off, really, to just kind of think and do, and then straddled for a while, which for me was part of my journey.
And then when was that moment? What was that the key moment that made the decision to actually say, I'm not going to take a job anymore? Because you were straddling for a couple of months, right?
Yeah,
and then that moment where you said, okay, no more. I'm not going to take a job ever again.
So when I decided to come back, well, two things happened. I'd been like a year in Singapore and in Southeast Asia traveling and doing things. And I was thinking about, okay, I've got to make a next move. So something has to give. Still thinking like and looking for traditional gigs. I kind of turned it back up to look for traditional work. So I said, as a compromise, I really enjoy Dubai. I would go look for more traditional work, but still in a new market for me in the Middle East. So that will give me kind of the joy and best of both worlds of my love of travel and exploration of an emerging market and still kind of working corporate in safe zone, right? Mm-hmm. So I went to interview and, you know, explore the region and all that good stuff, and was a candidate, was like one of a finalist actually for a really senior position job, which was exciting. But you know what? And throughout the whole time, my heart was like not fully sold. And it was, I had come back to the States in the meantime while they were still making decisions, and they took maybe like 2 months. Yeah, 2 months, the whole process to make a final decision. And when the time came that they actually said, I didn't get the job, I was bummed because I really wanted to do Dubai. But then part of me was kind of like, and I was like, okay, that's weird. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I was
really
psyched. Yeah, like I was really psyched to do Dubai and excited. But on the other hand, it was kind of this like, you know, that inner voice, it's like, oh, but yeah, no, this is great, you know? So it was kind of after that, I really had like a moment when I was like, you know what, this might have been like a blessing in disguise, and you really need to explore this full time. And around that time, our mutual friend, we decided to create kind of our own like think tank slash like, I don't know, like getaway week of, you know, kind of empowerment, women's empowerment or whatever. And the goal was basically to go away to this destination for a week, really focus and do a deep dive into, you know, our businesses or what we thought was our vision for 2018 for our personal goals and our businesses. And that birthed this like energy and the confidence for me to really be like, you know what? No, this is it. This is time. I'm ready. Like I'm really ready to do this. And so that was it.
Oh my God. So you and Keisha made a decision at the same time together in your weekend. That's wonderful. I did not know that.
Yeah. So she had been playing around with it for a while as well herself. And like I've had clients, like I said, I had done projects here and there where I had helped people, et cetera. But I'd never fully been like, okay, I'm going to really do this full time and really commit to it and grow it and make it my business, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what happened.
I love this story in so many ways. I really do. And, you know, I love these conversations, you know, how you can extend travel so you can feed, you know, you also feed your soul, and it provides clarity in so many ways. And you took your time, you know, it wasn't like a period of like, oh, it's a month. Like you took a year, you said, let's go with it.
Yep.
And you saw what happened. And I really, really like your story. And I also think that what would you say to the listeners out there who feel like they need, you know, also to take some time? What would you say? Would you say that the support that you had from her, or was it the decision you took, or the change of mindset that you were doing? Because you were also, you know, like as you mentioned, you were having conversations with entrepreneurs, and I think that has a little bit of, you know, something to do with your decision. Or what do you attribute it to?
A combination of things. I think one, like I said, I was, you know, doing interviews with traditional jobs and, you know, realizing that I would have to give, you know, all of this to another job that really wasn't mine. And I wasn't feeling full like joy or excitement, you know, and passion going into these like conversations with people. And or the job that, you know, potentially I was interested in, you know, I didn't get or whatever the case may be. So it just felt like it was like wrong matching and just wasn't right, you know. Yeah. And then I would meet these wonderful entrepreneurs, like especially in Singapore. Singapore has a culture of entrepreneurism and like, you know, just a lot of people who from all over the globe have come and, you know, started these interesting, you know, projects and businesses within the region to help Southeast Asia, which was really inspiring and encouraging. So it's just kind of like it's like set your soul on fire if you're into business and passionate about different things. So that was very cool as well. And then having an, you know, accountability partner, Keisha, our mutual friend, as we mentioned, and, you know, speaking to, you know, someone who understands your plight and that type of thing, that's really encouraging too. So it was a combination of things that got me to the start line. But and reading and just, you know, just I believe like everything is timing in the universe and the world, like, you know, things happen in your life for a reason. So yeah, it was time.
I love that. I love these stories. And well, now let's pivot a little bit and talk about not only the successes that you had and in the MAK group, but also, you know, lessons learned, failures and obstacles. What has been, to this moment, your biggest struggle or failure with your company?
I think that the biggest failure has been really getting, so I have three pillars to my business, and, you know, I can talk about that a little bit later, but one of those pillars is obviously helping emerging brands from concept to market. And it really is getting emerging brands to realize the importance of investing not only money, but time into building your brand. And, you know, you'll have conversations with these brands and you'll have conversations with designers, and so many people want things fast and easy and quick. And so you'll think that you've reached someone and, you know, you have like a great strategy or proposal in place for them, and they just aren't ready to commit to the money. Now, let's be realistic, too. A lot of these guys don't have a lot of additional funds to invest in that. But what happens is they don't realize that, you know, having foresight, if you don't take the time to invest today, you can really set yourself up for failure in the future, and you wind up losing more money in the end. So I think that I won't call it a failure, but more of a challenge. Is really sometimes getting some, you know, designers, emerging brands to understand the importance of the investment of that. So I will say that that has been, you know, an interesting, because I've always sat on the side where people have come to me as a buyer for big stores and big brands. So it's like they always come to me. They always call me. And in this case, people still come to me, but it's different, you know, when you're trying to get them to realize the big vision of their brand and how to execute. Sometimes they don't want to put in the work.
I see. Well, thank you for sharing, Melanie. I think it's an important lesson. And also, I love that you say it's a challenge and not a failure, because it's all about, you know, your mindset.
Yeah, and I believe failures are important. I embrace failures because you don't learn without failures. But I will say that's one's more of a challenge.
It is more of a challenge. And before you started this project, you just, the MAK group, did you have a different project that never quite launched or did not work out?
It's funny. I have a project and I say that it's on the back burner. So before the MAK fashion group, I worked on a plus size line. I really wanted to launch a plus size line because it's a really underserved market. And it's still in the background, but like I had done the research, a business plan with a partner, and we had like researched actual manufacturers and, you know, et cetera. And funding, it comes down to funding, which is why I really understand the plight of my own clients, because it comes down to that. But there's ways that you can go about finding funding and resourcing as well. But for me, it was just like timing as well. So it was a short start. It's not dead. But I learned a lot even in that small amount of time. So eventually I'll go back to it.
You just press pause, right?
Just press pause. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Yeah, we just press pause on it.
Yes. So I love that. I mean, and it's really wonderful that you have, you know, all these other things going on and you're not only focused on one thing. But at the moment, I know you must be proud of so many things, but what is the most, you know, the moment that you're most proud of when it comes to your business?
So I think the one of my like success stories for the MAK Fashion Group is a brand that I worked with quite early on in my business when I was still kind of just taking on one-on-one unique projects. And it's with it's a men's lifestyle brand. It's called Cadigan. And it was founded by an American guy and an Indonesian woman. And I met them in Southeast Asia. And they really like did their homework. I mean, these guys were like bullish about creating a lifestyle brand from the bottom up. And so I was introduced to them by a mutual leader in the region in our industry. And they needed help with merchandising and line planning, et cetera. And so I helped them from concept. And fast forward to about a year and a half, to see them actually really trading and in trade shows. And, you know, I mean, they just had a famous American actor wearing their jacket on a talk show. So it's kind of like, wow, that's awesome. Like from the beginning, I was there to help them with their line planning and figuring out product and all that good stuff. So that makes me feel great. You know,
that it's your baby.
Well, not so much, but I love the fact that I was able to help someone, you know, from the beginning to the end and actually see it actualized, you know, and that's what those types of winning stories are great. But that's also a testament to the designers and the brand themselves. They invested in the brand. They invested in the resources. They invested in the research, and they were like committed, you know, blood, sweat and tears to do it. And together we were able to help with other resources and partners as well along the way. But those are winning stories that I love. And I think that's one of my winning moments for my company.
Congratulations. And I think it's a testament of a good alliance, because when two, you know, you say that they're great designers, but I also think that you are great. And when two, you know, people or, you know, groups aligned and they're putting everything into it, then you have good results.
Yes, it's definitely a collaboration. And that's the message that I try to make sure that I share with clients, is that, you know, you have to want this as bad as you say, you know, it doesn't magically appear. So, yeah. And then when all the groups come together, we can make magic happen.
Magic. I love it. And when it comes to growing your business, what would you attribute your growth to? Would you say it's, your unique approach, your branding, your network, or, any other strategy that you would share as your secret sauce for growth?
I think a lot of it definitely is my customer service and my personalized approach, as well as my network. So, you know, when I work with clients or work with fashion federations, you know, or work with, you know, someone in academia, it is, you truly know. You know, the feedback from my clients has been like, Melanie eats and breathes this. Like, I am extremely passionate about helping you succeed. And I love this industry. So sharing that information that I've gathered along my professional journey, buying for big brands and meeting different vendors and the relationships that I've built, I'm happy to share that and help someone develop their dream, you know, help someone like see their dream, actualize their dream. So I think that's really, you can't fake that, but I think it's critical to actually having success in your business. And then the network, you know, I really I really am thankful and grateful for the people that I've worked with in the past that have helped me along the way and that also that I'm helping. But being able to tap into some of my old bosses from like 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and, you know, new people that I meet along the way and, you know, having that giving spirit, people that I have encountered and you know, reaching out to people when I need or when they need or whatever the case may be, kind of a collaborative community that I've, you know, developed. I think it's been really helpful and I appreciate it. And it's been part of my success as well because I'm able to share resources and different things to help my clients build strategies to execute their vision.
I love that. And I love that you focus on serving because that's at the end of the day what you it doesn't matter what you provide, you're, you know, helping somebody as and, you know, giving them service.
Right. You have to love it because at the end of the day, it is about serving, right? So you have to really love it and you can't fake that.
I love that. Authentic.
Yes.
And so, you know, changing the tone a little bit, when it comes to revenue, what are the ways that you generate revenue? Is it only through the MAK group at the moment?
So my primary focus is the MAK Fashion Group, yes. But within the MAK Fashion Group, I have three pillars. So it's the emerging designer pillar where I'm actually helping different designers. They could actually be everyone from, I just have this great idea, I don't even know how to begin, to we're currently trading and we are only in the US and want to go to Asia, or we're only in Asia and we want to come to the US. So that's that pillar. Then my second pillar is, like I said, fashion federations or trade platforms or fashion weeks that are looking maybe to enhance their programming or looking for strategic ways to acquire new partners, be it from a retail buyer standpoint or a designer standpoint or education, et cetera, whatever that might be. And then my third pillar is really trying to tap into academia, which I'm still working on and figuring out, you know, part of the whole designer kind of the business of fashion. I think that, you know, in the States, I feel like, you know, and in some European countries as well, we are very fortunate to have access to great institutions that kind of give us a full 360 kind of education on the business of fashion if you choose to study merchandising, et cetera, whatever. However, in some emerging markets, it's still not there. So people are coming out of certain schools as designers or this and that, and they're lacking a full, well-rounded kind of education about the business. So I am passionate about that third pillar as well. But throughout those three pillars, that's really what drives my full revenue.
Astonishing. So now that I wanted to go back to another point now. We were talking about networking, but I want to focus about, you know, what people you surround yourself with. And we all learn from others. And I wanted to know if you have a mentor, a business coach, or somebody in business that you look up to, and why?
Yeah, I mean, I call it my network and my group. Your network is your net worth, right? So, yes. I have, like I said, people that I've collected from many, many years ago to new people that I'm currently meeting today that are amazing people that are, I mean, resources that they've connected with me with or how I've helped them, et cetera. And that's really been my kind of gold in helping me. So if I have any challenges or issues, et cetera, and they're from various industries, which I think is critical. Obviously, I think, you know, it's great to be an expert in your industry and to have your mentors and people in your industry. But I think it challenges you from problem solving, from, you know, working with new clients and innovation to have people outside of your industry. So I challenge myself to do that as well. Also a lot of reading and, you know, staying on top of different things. I mean, there's like no excuse now for people to be, you know, not connected to their industry or to be, you know, ignorant about different trends or, you know, new things that are going on just around us globally that impact us all in various ways. So that's huge. Yeah. So, and then my accountability partners are very critical as well. So my one-on-one weeklies were really kind of deep dive into different things, and my accountability partners, because I have a couple of groups. And for me, that works. They're different industries and we really play off of each other's strengths and weaknesses. And that's really, you know, a good base as well.
It is the most important thing when it comes to accountability. I love that you have two groups.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And looking into the future, what is next for Melanie? Are you currently cooking up a new project? There's something else that you have on the side as well?
Yeah, so I'm really trying to focus on for second half of 2018. You know, I planted a lot of seeds in early 2018, and so I'm looking for a bit of a harvest come fall and winter of 2018. So really want to work on some fashion federations and fashion week projects, more from an international perspective. So really love to kind of finalize those and see what direction we can go in there. And then looking at new ways to really challenge myself, you know, because as an entrepreneur, you know, as a new business, continuously challenging myself with my brand. So, you know, working on my own PR and branding strategies as well, looking at how we can continue to raise awareness about the MAK Fashion Group and getting out more into a broader base, et cetera. I also am very interested. I've worked in the Middle East. I've worked in Asia, Southeast Asia and Northern Asia specifically, Europe and the U.S. I love to get more into South America. Touched on it a little bit in my career a few years ago, but I really love to develop some new relationships in that part of the world. So yeah, there's some exciting things hopefully that are on the horizon.
I'm excited for you. That's lovely.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And I wanted to talk a little bit more about inspiration. I know you say you're on top of the game, you know, you're reading, you're constantly learning. And do you have a favorite book when it comes to business that you most recommend to other entrepreneurs and why?
Yes. My favorite book is You're a Badass at Making Money by Jen Sincero.
Okay. That's why you, Keisha, and myself, we have that in common.
Yes. That's like my favorite kind of entrepreneur book. It's amazing. I mean, obviously, you know her story, but she's now early 40s. She was a freelance writer basically her whole life, and she just really committed herself to growing her business and taking it seriously and putting herself out there and really challenging herself. Like if you don't try something new, right, you do the same thing, you'll get the same results. And so it was just very empowering, inspiring. And some real practical kind of suggestions to get yourself started and on the move. So I would recommend it to anyone interested in starting a business, or even if you're already in your business and you feel like you're in a rut, pick it up. She's pretty great.
I love that. And I met her in a book signing here in San Diego.
Oh, nice.
Yes. You have no idea how excited I was.
very nice. The other thing besides, I was going to say the other thing that keeps me kind of motivated, yes, that's my favorite book too, but being in the market, being out in the world, being present. So it's very important for my industry to walk the stores, to be, you know, that's virtually and physically, you know, being with people and figuring out things and doing things and, you know, just kind of just being present and being out and learning and just being open to receive any type of kind of inspiration from various sources. So that's kind of cool. And she kind of talks about that a little bit too. So she's in her book. So it's really interesting.
Yes, I love that. And well, Melanie, we're almost out of time, but we wanted to get to the very best and last question. For all of those out there who are thinking about launching their business, we want them to have actionable, you know, like takeaways or tasks or things to think about.
Sure.
What would you say to them when somebody's, you know, hasn't made the decision or made the decision but hasn't done anything when it comes to action?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we can sit in that zone all day, right? So, I mean, you've done the research, but if you haven't done the research, do your research. So, you know, if you want to be, you know, have a photography business, or, you know, you want to have a life coaching business or whatever, figure out how you can be the best life coach, the best photographer out there, because you're going to have a lot of competition. So what is your, you know, unique, you know, selling point, et cetera. So do your research and then save some cash. So while you're pontificating, you know, save some cash, like, you know, start living lean. So you get used to having, so you will have surplus when you decide to take the leap, you know, and you can live, you know, more comfortable, like, you know, compared to your, to regular life, because you don't know in which way this entrepreneur life might take you. You might want to travel for 3 to 6 months, et cetera, before you take that leap. So save your cash. The other thing I would say is surround yourself with like-minded people, other entrepreneurs. You know, don't be afraid to join meetup groups or, you know, whatever it takes to immerse yourself slowly in that culture, because it's a whole different mindset. It's a whole different, you know, support system. And you need to start thinking, you know, the way iron sharpens iron, right? So you need to start to immerse yourself in that culture. And the last thing I would say is take the leap. Like, you've built all your little safety nets and everything. And I would say definitely go for it. Like, you know, one thing I would tell people is, like, you have nothing to lose. Like, you're not satisfied or happy right now, right? Maybe professionally in what you're doing, and you know this is really your passion, et cetera. If you put all your ducks in a row and you've kind of done some planning, go for it. Try it. What's the worst that can happen, right?
Nobody dies.
Nobody dies. Nobody dies. And, you know, listen, hopefully nobody dies, right? But, yeah, and I think you'll be surprised. And I think that's actually one thing. As soon as I made the decision to actually commit myself full time, it's amazing the number of doors, the number of, like, people that are there almost to, like, catch you in a sense. Like, as soon as you have a hesitation, or, like, it's amazing. So the energy and life you breathe into it, I guarantee you it will come back to you. It will come back.
I love that. It will come back to you. And well, thank you so much, Melanie. I think they're going to have so much to take away from this.
Good, good. And yes. Thank you again for having me.
No, this is wonderful. And before we go, could you share with the audience how they can find you, your website, and socials?
Sure. The best way to find me is through my website at themakg.com. So that's the best way. Send a note, drop a note. Happy to connect. Et cetera. And we'll be launching social soon, so stay tuned.
Perfect. And I know that if somebody is going to, you know, like you said, somebody's going to come out and help you with the Latin America region. I know for sure. Good things can happen.
Yes, I believe it.
All righty. Well, that's the end of the show. And thank you, Melanie, so much for being here. Thank you for sharing your story. Very, very inspiring. And thank you to our listeners.